Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Reviews of Madani Channel, mashallah, wa azzurul, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, azzurul, there are many blessings and virtues in reciting and sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, من صلى علي صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشرة, that he who recites salat upon the noble messenger صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم once, then Allah سبحانه وتعالى bestows 10 blessings upon that person. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers, mashallah, previously we heard about the Sariyya, the expedition of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now many of the scholars they state, even from amongst the companions, they stated Sayyidina Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu explicitly says this, that the killing of, which did take place, which we spoke about in the last episode, during the Sariyya of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, that there was a group of 12 individuals. Two got left behind because they lost a camel. So 10 of them went and they thought, should we attack the caravan? Should we not attack the caravan? Is it still the month of Rajab? Is it not the month of Rajab? However, it was according to most. And they decided to attack the caravan. There's one individual amongst them, Amr al-Hadrami, Ibn al-Hadrami. He was amongst them and he was killed. And this was an unfortunate event. Yes, it was something the companions, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam, he was not too happy about, because he did not send them to go and attack anybody. He just sent them to gain intelligence, to collect intelligence, that is, to watch things, to see what happens, and to give that information to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. However, it said that one of the main reasons for the occurrence of the great battle of Badr, yes, the great battle of Badr, one of the most important reasons or the things which led to the battle of Badr was the killing of Amr ibn al-Hadrami. So the previous event which we heard of in the last episode, this has led to this event which we shall be hearing about today, inshallah, the major battle of Badr. If we do get to that, inshallah ta'ala. However, in between some time, possibly, in between some time, there were some other very, very important events which took place. And one of those events, a major event, very, very important, no doubt. Well, quite a few, especially during the second hijrah, because this is the second year hijrah. And it was during the second year hijrah that most of the obligations occurred. Yes, so inshallah, we shall be hearing about the changing of the qibla. Yes, as well as this, the fasting of Ramadan, as well as this, the zakat, the sadaqah fitr, etc. So these are some of the rulings which also were given. The Muslims were obliged to perform. And these were possibly, and according to most scholars, this took place in the second year hijrah. So the first of these, very, very important, was the qibla was changed. What does it mean by the qibla was changed? It's not the Kaaba was moved from one place to another, because people associate the Kaaba with the qibla. And of course, for good reason, because that's the direction of the qibla, basically. One thing to remember is, we do not like one person, he actually asked me, not asked me, but one person asked me, somebody asked him, that, you know, why do you worship, you guys just worship the Kaaba? This is what he said to him, was a non-Muslim. He said to him, you guys just worship the Kaaba. Look, why is it that you all face towards that way? And, you know, the answer is within the question. Why do we face towards that way? We only face, this is just a direction. This is just the direction. We do not worship the Kaaba, and nor does anybody believe we worship the Kaaba, because we just face it. It brings about unity. It brings about, you know, so everybody can face one direction in prayer. It brings about unity for the Muslim Ummah too. So that's just the direction in which we've been ordered to pray in that particular direction. The Kaaba is developed and built by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his foundation, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, later during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, even before that too, various times. So that place, that direction, so even if you were to be above, you would still face that direction, because from there, and it goes up to the seven heavens and beyond, that's the what? That's the Qibla. That's just the direction in which we pray. However, previously we would not face towards the Ka'batul Masharafa or this Qibla. Yes, the Ka'batul Masharafa, we would not face towards the Ka'batul Masharafa. Or shall I say, previous ummas would not face towards the Ka'batul Masharafa, but rather they would face towards Al-Quds al-Sharif. And within Al-Quds al-Sharif, they would face towards the rock, where we have the dome of the rock, the actual rock within Bayt al-Maqdis. This is what it has been stated, that previous prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this was their Qibla. Sayyidina Abu Dawood rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his book, An-Nasikh wal-Mansukh, he states that the Qibla for all previous prophets was the Kaaba al-Masharafa, was always the Kaaba. So there's a huge group who consider that the Qibla of all previous prophets was the Kaaba al-Masharafa. There's also a huge group who would consider it to be, you know, that of Ibn Arabi rahimahullah ta'ala, his student, As-Suhayli rahimahullah ta'ala. They would say, no, the consensus is Quds al-Sharif was the Qibla for the previous prophets. So generally it's understood that it was the Al-Quds al-Sharif, you can just say, during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even whilst the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he would face towards the Kaaba. This is the important part. So whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he would face towards the Kaaba. For example, if you were to consider this, for example, if this was to be the Kaaba, yes? And if I were to look towards yourselves and that was to be Al-Quds al-Sharif, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray towards the Kaaba in such a way where he would also face, so basically he would face north. He would face towards the Kaaba and he would face it in such a way that he would also be facing towards the Al-Quds al-Sharif too. So he wouldn't face the Kaaba this way. He wouldn't face the Kaaba this way. He would face it this way, so that he's also facing towards Al-Bayt al-Maqdis. And whilst on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned even to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, and he expressed his wish, his desire for the Qibla of the Muslims to be changed. Whilst we're in Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were surrounded by the mushrikun. They were not people of other religions. Is when the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims traveled to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, then there were also the claimants of those who claimed to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wished, this was his desire, to turn and for the Qibla to be the Kaaba al-Musharrafa. And this, no doubt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the wish, the taraji, the wish of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholar says, accepted. Yes, is we consider it to be accepted all the time. And no doubt this was in this case, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would, you know, state, he keep looking to the skies in the Al-Quran al-Kareem. Yes, he keeps looking towards the skies, waiting. When is the revelation going to come? And whilst he was in prayer, yes, many of the scholars say, whilst he was praying Salatul Dhuhr, he was given the order to change direction and face now towards Masjid al-Haram. You don't have to face exactly towards the Kaaba, because when you are such a far distance, you don't know exactly, you're not able to exactly pinpoint the Kaaba al-Musharrafah. So you have to, you pray in the direction of the Kaaba al-Musharrafah. Unless, of course, if a person's right there and he can see the Kaaba, then he can't just, you know, just pray anyway. He has to pray directly towards the Kaaba. However, being so far away, we don't know the exact, we're not able to pinpoint it. So we'll pray in the direction of the of Masjid al-Haram, you can say. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned. How did he turn? This is a question which comes to many minds. You know, it's a question which I used to think. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turn? The scholars have mentioned a few different things. One is that this was before the time of the ruling of major movements during Salah. You know, you're not allowed to just move, make any major movements, are you, during Salah. So this is one opinion that it was they were not prohibited. Either this is one option, that there was no prohibition at that time of making major movements during Salah. So even during Salah, people used to give salam and reply to salam, etc. Until this later change. So there were different rulings of Islam, you could say. There were different rulings of fiqh at that time. And things changed quite often, of course, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or as the revelation was being revealed. So this is one option, that there was no a constriction as to movement during Salah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he moved, and the companions also moved. Other scholars have stated that due to this being an order, then this was the instruction. That this was the instruction, so they could still move. As some have stated, they would maybe do it in small movements. However, the companions radhiyallahu anhum, they followed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned direction. So the companions radhiyallahu anhum, they also turned direction. Today there is a masjid known as the masjid of what? Qiblatayn. The masjid of two qiblas. And that's masjid is known as Masjid al-Qiblatayn, because that's the masjid at the time in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was first praying towards Al-Quds al-Sharif, and then he turned the opposite, complete opposite direction. From north to south, he turned in the opposite direction, and there were two qiblas. Yes, for them that is. For them that is, there was two qiblas, and this is the reason why the masjid is known as Masjid Qiblatayn. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. So basically, the Qibla had changed. Very, very important, no doubt. A huge impact this had, because the claimants, those who claimed to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they began to accuse the Muslims and accuse the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and say, you know, what has he done here? That he's changed the Qibla now. This was the Qibla, this was the, you know, where everybody, yes, everybody would face towards the Bayt al-Maqdis, and now he's just decided to change towards another way. So they began to say all sorts of things to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Imam Suyuti rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that this was one of the, in his Khasais al-Kubra, he says that this was one of the Khasais of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that he was the only Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who faced two Qiblas. This is accepted. He was the only Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who faced two Qiblas, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And those who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they would say things. First they would say, oh look, Muhammad, he's following, you know, our Qibla. He's changing his religion, whereas he's following our Qibla. Allahu Akbar, you know, he prays in the same direction as us, etc., etc. And then when the Messenger of Allah, when the order came and it was changed, then they began to say that now he's just trying to appease the people of Mecca. Yes? He's trying to appease the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Allahu Akbar, and now he's trying to oppose us. Yes? He opposes us. He was following our Qibla, and now he's changed the Qibla. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Muslims, the Qibla of Islam is up until now, is now the Ka'batul Musharrafah. Another very, very important incident which took place was the fast of Ramadan. Now previously what used to happen was the 10th. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came towards Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he saw that those people, the Jews, those people who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they would observe their fast, they would fast on the 10th of Muharram. They would fast on the 10th of Muharram. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw them, he says, you know, what is the reason that you are fasting on the 10th of Muharram? And they replied and they said, the reason we fast on the 10th of Muharram is because this is the day that Allah had saved our Prophet Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam from Fir'aun on this day. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replies with a few narrations, نَحْنُ أَوْلَى وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ, that we have more of a right be Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. We have a more of a right over Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than themselves. Because not only do we consider Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to be a great prophet of us, of ours. He is a great prophet of Islam. As Muslims, we consider him to be a great prophet. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Not only do we consider him to be a mighty prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we also believe in the same beliefs of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because the Torah had been edited and changed, and it was not preserved. And those rulings had been given to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one thing that we must understand is that when it comes to aqeedah, the aqeedah never changed. So whenever there was a change in different ummahs, of course there's changes. There's different rulings for different ummahs. Some things were forbidden for previous ummahs, which are not forbidden for our ummah. Some things were permitted for previous ummahs and have been forbidden for our ummah, for the ummah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. However, the beliefs, when it comes to beliefs, the beliefs have never ever changed. So the beliefs of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam are the same as the beliefs of the ummah of Sayyidina Isa, the correct beliefs of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, etc., etc., no doubt Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So the beliefs never change. And the Jews, or those people who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they would fast on the 10th of Muharram. And so when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wasalam, he heard about this, he said, look, we have more of a right over Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than yourselves. So we too are going to adopt this practice because it was something which is good. So we too are going to adopt this and we will fast. And it was wajib, it was necessary for the Muslims to fast on the 10th of Muharram. And so the Muslims would fast on the 10th of Muharram. And this continued up until the second year of Hijrah, when the revelation was given to fast 30 days of the blessed month of Ramadan. When the 30 days of the blessed month of Ramadan were revealed, then the fasting of the 10th of Muharram is no longer necessary for Muslims. However, it is still recommended for Muslims to fast on the 10th of Muharram too. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if I'm to be alive, then I would fast not only the 10th, but the 9th. I would join another day with it, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And so we should try to fast 2 days, which teaches us another thing too, that we shouldn't do exactly like others do, but rather there should be some sort of change. So those who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they would fast on the 10th. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, we're going to fast on the 9th and the 10th. Their Qibla was towards one direction. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wished, and no doubt it was later accepted, the Qibla of the Muslims has become another direction, that is. One other thing, inshallah ta'ala, which maybe we'll complete today before we do get to the Battle of Badr, inshallah azza wa jal, which we may hear about in the next episode. And this is the day of Friday, a special day for Muslims. The day of Friday is not a very, very important day, and for Muslims is considered a blessed day. Now, Christians, or those who claim to follow Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, their special day is a Sunday. Those who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jews, their special or sacred day was what is Saturday. And for Muslims, it's a Friday. And some of the scholars have mentioned that in actual fact, for the Jews or for those who claim to follow Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that their special day was actually supposed to be Friday. That it was revealed for them. And they were ordered and instructed to adopt and to observe their sacred day, their special day, on a Friday. However, being the people they were, they approached Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. They said, look, you know, nothing special happened on a Saturday, so we should make our, I don't understand the reasoning to this, but nothing special happened on a Saturday. You see, Friday was the birth of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. He was born on a Friday and he passed away on a Friday. Yes, so something special occurred. Whereas on a Saturday, they said that nothing special happened, so that should be our special day. Allahu Akbar. And then it was accepted for them. They were given much honor. They were. That ummah, the ummah of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were honored so much. They were favored so much. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them so much. And they decided to then make Saturday their sacred day. However, now, Friday was established as a sacred day for Muslims. This is two things. One, the scholars state is from what? It was from revelation itself. And it's also stated that it was from ijtihad, that many of the companions we heard previously, Sayyidina As'ad ibn Zarara radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he would observe the Friday prayer, and it was considered a blessed day for Muslims. Now, as this was considered a blessed day for Muslims, then those claimants to be the followers of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they now again became jealous, because some of them understood that Friday was given to them. However, they were misguided and they were led away from the blessed day of Friday. And this blessed day was then given to the Muslims as a blessed day. Now, my dear viewers on the new channel, we can then go to the next topic, a very, very important topic. In fact, one more thing before we do go to the next topic is what Sadaqat al-Fitr. This is something also which was revealed in the second year Hijrah. So most of the, you know, there's this salah which we had heard about previously. Zakat, yes, also in the second year Hijrah. Fasting, the 30 days of Ramadan, also during the second year of Hijrah. And my dear viewers of Madani channel, I think the most important lesson to take away from today is that as Muslims, we have been encouraged not to adopt and not to emulate other religions. Not to emulate the actions of people who follow other religions, but rather, alhamdulillah, we are unique, no doubt about it. Rather, we have the greatest of all mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who possess the greatest of manners, the greatest of etiquettes. He is the greatest of role models. So we should follow in the footsteps of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we shouldn't follow the practices of those individuals who are non-Muslim. Those individuals who belong to other religions. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the greatest blessing, which is our iman. We must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must inshallah become better Muslims. That's all for today. I did intend to begin the Battle of Badr, but inshallah we shall be hearing about that in the next episode, inshallah ta'ala. So much to learn about, honestly, exciting. Join us next time for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in which we heard about the life, the biography, some of the events which transpired. And of course, we're learning about our deen. And inshallah ta'ala, by means of this, increasing our love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers, join us next time for more of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.